We're in the body of Christ. The Bible tells us when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we're placed in Christ. He actually says that it's one body. Paul writes this and says, there's one body with many members. And we think about the body of Christ, which is the church, which is, and when you think about it, there's the body of Christ, which is the overall church, then there's local churches. And so when you think about it, we're in a local church as gifts to each other, but at the same time, we're all in the body of Christ. And so how do we relate to each other? You know, they're really two kind of sports. They're what we call individual type sports, and there's team sports. Now, like today is wrestling, and I'm gonna, Lord willing, I'll get to go to wrestling. Wrestling is, they say it's a team sport, but in reality, it's one-on-one. You wrestle, and then they all add the team points up. Same thing on track and field. I coached track and field for years, and so this guy's running, and he may win. That doesn't necessarily mean his team's going to win, because you take all the individual things and it comes back together. Now, something like football or baseball, those are definitely team sports, because you have 11 guys playing at one time in football and 9 guys playing at one time in baseball, those kind of things. Some people like individual sports. Some people say, I just do my thing. And they are. They're good in their individual thing. And then some people love team sports. When you think about the body of Christ, the church, we realize it's a team. We're a team. We're in this together. Realizing the body of Christ, we need each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, that when we trust in Christ, we're placed in the body of Christ. And we all are in the body to do ministry. I want you to look at Ephesians. I told you to be at Ephesians 4. Look at Ephesians 4, 12, which is one of our most famous verses for our church's concern. And it talks about what we're supposed to do. And if you look at 4:12, I've got it up here. We're equipping the believers to do the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. And so the reason that God gave spiritual gifts, that God gave each other, all those kind of things, is the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. So I just always put it to equip believers to do the ministry, to build up the body. And so in reality, we need each other to equip each other so that we can do ministry, so that the body can grow. And in this passage, the growth of the body and the building of the body is not necessarily numerical. It'd be okay if it was, but he's talking about, if you go into verse 13, there's the plan. Notice what it says, till we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So notice this verse, until we all attain to unity, the unity of the faith. In other words, that we're in unified together in what we believe and the knowledge of the Son of God. We begin to understand who he is, and to a mature person, to a mature man, we become mature to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We actually become like Jesus Christ. And the three kind of words that stand out to me are this right here: unity, knowledge, and maturity. He says, until we all come to unity, there's not divisions, we're all moving to the same thing. That's why we always talk about, what's our purpose? And we all say what? It is to make, come on, what is our purpose of our church? Make disciples, see? And we're all in unity in that. We say, this is what we believe we're supposed to do. We go back to the Bible. If I said, what do we believe about the Bible? You'd say it's God's perfect word. If we said, what do you believe about Jesus? You'd say he's the Son of God who died and rose again. If I said, what do you believe about salvation? You'd say it's faith alone in Christ alone for eternal life. We're all in unity of the faith, that idea there. And then the knowledge of the Son of God, we're growing to be like him, and that's the plan, all of us together. And then to maturity, to a mature person, the goal is to be like Christ. As you go down the passage, the last section or the last little verse is 16, and here's what it says, and this is what I love. It says, the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. In other words, the whole body fits together. And then notice this, according to the proper working of each individual part. That means according to the proper working of every one in the body of Christ. You're a part of the body of Christ. So you're an individual part of the body of Christ. He says that it's according to the proper working of each individual part, it causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love. And so think about this. The way the church grows and grows spiritually, materially, every way, the way it grows is that each one of us serve using our gifts, talents, and abilities, our part in the body. We do it together. It proper working of each individual part. That means you do what you're supposed to do. You do what you're gifted to do. You fulfill the ministries that God has for you. And so, as we put it here, it's the proper working of each individual part. Now, part of the problem is this. There's a whole bunch of the individual parts that don't do anything at all. Think of the people you know who are believers, who are in the body, that don't serve at all. I mean, many of them have never even realized how vital they are. Many of them never realized that they're supposed to serve. I mean, I heard a lot of people say, well, aren't you just supposed to come to church? I mean, isn't that the goal? You trust Christ and you come to church. I said, no, you come to church to be trained so you can what? Serve. That's the deal. And so it's the proper working of each individual part. And so what we see is the whole body, every joint, every individual part ends up bringing the growth for the building up itself in love. So the goal is that we together, each other, help each other grow so that the body can grow and mature. And sometimes we don't think that way. We say, really? And we have to understand that we're all in the body together. Now, the y'all that are here today, and you come almost every Sunday, you never hardly miss anything you come to. You understand that you're in this body, and you're in this body with fellow believers, and that the only way we can do ministry that God has for us to do as a church and even as an individual is that we work together. Look what he says here. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak the truth with one another, with his neighbor, speak each one of you, for we are members of one another. We're all connected together. We are members of one another. So we're connected to each other. And I love, look at Romans 12:5. So then, we who are many, are one body in Christ, that's the body, and individually members of one another. So he says there's one body, but then individually, each one of us are members of one another. He didn't say you're a member by yourself. He didn't say you do your own thing. In fact, I always tell people there's no such thing as the Lone Ranger Christian. You're not supposed to be, you know, high-ho silver and a Lone Ranger, but even a Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? I mean, when you really think about it, you're not supposed to be by yourself. You're not supposed to do ministry by yourself. Now, you may have particular things you do, but you all come back because we have to have each other. And so we... who are many, there's each, they're just, we're one though. We're one in Christ, but individually, members of one another. So the body can't function without all the members working together. Let me show you this. Two key things. No individual can serve effectively by himself. Now, not in the long run. God may put you in a certain thing where you're doing a certain thing, but ultimately think about it. Even if you went somewhere and you are doing this particular ministry, who taught you? Who was encouraging you? Who prayed for you? Who helped train you? It's never by yourself. And so no individual can actually serve effectively by themselves because you have to have the other believers. And then every believer is important and vital for the body to function. Now, I want you to think, I just think that the church in America, the church that I didn't grow up in church. Most of you know my testimony. I didn't even start going to church until I was 18 or 19. Didn't even start really going. Trusted Christ when I was 19. Didn't start growing as a Christian until about 25, 26. So I didn't grow up in church. But I think church in America is the idea is that many people who are possibly believers and connect with a local church don't have any idea how important they are in the body of Christ. I don't have any idea that they would say something like, if I wasn't there for 2 weeks, I'd go, whoa, who cares? That's what they think. And they don't plan to be here. There's a lot of Christians who say, well, you know, I got this and I got this and I get this. You know, we go about one Sunday a month. Average Christian in the United States, by the way, it used to be that what you'd call the faithful, which means the ones who come, what we'd say, they come all the time. They came 3 Sundays a month. Okay? That used to be. Now, the faithful of the United States come one Sunday a month. That means if you come 2 to 3 times, think that the average other person is coming about once every 6 weeks. And that's why they don't know Matthew, because they get about every 6 weeks, they get a message. If we slowed down, maybe they'd get it, but we can't do that. And so the bottom line is many believers do not realize how important you are. In fact, probably there may be even some in this room that you don't realize that if you don't function with your gifts, talents, and abilities and serve and touch lives, the body's never going to be what it's supposed to be. I mean, you think about it. I mean, the whole thing started with like 12, 11 guys and then 120 on the day of Pentecost. And in a matter of a couple of weeks, there's 5,000, 8,000 people because they've been out there telling people about Christ. And they spread. That group of people started it, and they spread the message of Jesus Christ through the whole world without the internet, without planes. You know, I mean, just think about how they spread the message. And we've got everything. We've got the internet. We got planes. We got phones. We got anything we want. We can talk to somebody in another part of the world right now if we want to. Last Thursday morning, I got the Skype from the guys in India, and they've got all the pastors there, and they're all waving at me, and everything is so neat. And I taught them Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. We always want to hit something that encourages them. I reminded them to stay strong on the grace message, and then also that together we're, as believers, are to do good works. And so I highlighted that. But they're in India, and so I'm sitting in my office, and I'm talking to people in India. You think, what do you think Paul would say about that? If you said, Paul, you can be in your cell in Rome, and you can talk to somebody, and you can see them on a little gadget. And he would say, I don't have any idea of what you're talking about. I mean, it didn't even compute in his brain. And so I don't think most Christians understand how valuable they are. And let me just show you something, okay? 1 Corinthians 12:14. For the body is not one member, but many. Okay, we'd all agree to that, right? It's not just one of us. It's not just one big body. It, in one sense, it's a big body, but it's made up of what? Many members. Now, watch this. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, you know, hand is way up here, and they get to see everybody and weigh and shake and get donuts and everything else, but I'm a foot, and a foot is, I'm stuck with the sock on me in every, so I'm not, if I'm not a hand, I'm really not that important. I'm not that part. He goes on to say, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? No, it's just as much. And if the ear says, hey, I'm not an eye, because I mean, I'm on the side of the eye, people come up and go, oh, look at your eyes. And they don't ever come up and go, oh, look at your ears. I mean, you know, and so if you're an ear, you say, golly, I'm not near as important as an eye. So if I'm not that important, I'm really not part of the body. Is it for this reason any less a part of the body? Listen, he said, you've got to have everything. You got to have the foot. You got, and then he goes on to say, if the whole body were an eye, how could you hear? If the whole body were hearing, where could you smell? We need every person. And this is the thing that I just don't think we grasp. I mean, I think that, and I'm not saying in this room, maybe not in this room, but I think there's many believers, and even in our church, that if you said to them, does it matter whether you're there or not, they would say it doesn't matter. Because they don't see their vital importance of their gifts, talents, and abilities, their part of the body, the proper working of what? Each individual part causes the growth of the body. Sometimes people wonder, why isn't the church having a bigger impact? Because most of the church is somewhere not serving. And so we've got, you know, what would happen? So every believer in the body is necessary. So why does the church struggle? I've got it written right here. Why does the church struggle? Because so many members of the body do not realize how vital they are. And notice, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. Now, there may be some people who say, well, I would rather be up front, and I don't want to help with chairs. It's not fair that I don't get to help with chairs. I mean, it's not fair that I don't get to be up front, and I have to help with chairs. Well, the Bible says the person sitting at the chairs is just as important as the person up front. In fact, how are you going to have people to hear the message if there's no chairs? If somebody doesn't come and clean the building, if somebody doesn't unlock this, if somebody doesn't run this, if somebody's not over there doing this. I've had sometimes people say, I'm going to be helping with the kids today. Like that's no big deal. That's a huge deal. Listen, those kids, there are parents in here that can concentrate on the study because they know their kids are being taken care of. Every person is vital, and God places them just as he decides. So with that in mind, it's the plan that God gives each of us that we're to serve with each other. It's a great gift. And so I like this where it says, therefore, there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And so now this turns to the fact that we all know now how vital every one of us are, that we need each one of us. If one of us is hurting, we're all hurting. Not everybody can be an eye, not everybody can be an ear, not everybody can be a foot, not everybody can be a... But everybody's something, and every one of those are important. I didn't put it up, but Paul goes on to say that some of the parts of the body that you think are not as important are actually more important. What if your toe, what if your big toe was really hurting badly? This is how you'd be. My toe is so bad. You go, what's just a little toe? It's not important. Yes, it is. You can't balance. And you have to learn to balance. If you lose your big toe, you have to learn to balance all over again. Plus, if it hurts, you can hardly do anything. See? And it's like Paul says that. He says, listen, even the parts that don't look like they're the most important are actually are the most important. And so there should be no division in the body, but we should care for one another. That I think this is the key, that we're to care for one another. Now, how does that work? Because we all know, here's our premise, that God has given to each one of us, each one of us. We're members of the same body. We're supposed to be the proper working of each individual part. We're not to worry about who gets what part, because God decides. Every one of them are important. In fact, every one of them are vital. If you remember when we saw the parable, it's not the abilities that God gives you, and it's not the amount of time that he gives you. It's what? The what? Faithfulness. And if you're faithful to do whatever God has for you to do, when he says, well done, good and faithful servant, he's going to say that to the person who set up the chairs and same to the person who was out front somehow. There is no difference. There is no difference. And so we're to care for one another. Well, you know how you care for one another? You love each other. That's how you care for one another. When you decide that you're going to love the fellow believers, that you're going to love even the unlovely, that you're going to be able to touch lives for Jesus Christ. And we see it in the life of Christ. Let me just, I'm not going to have you turn there just because of time, but in Matthew 22, a lawyer comes up to Jesus. A lawyer is one of the scribe type people, and they were smart, and they were a religious leader, a little sect. And they came up, and it says, he came up questioning him, testing him. Now, the idea is, I'm going to ask Jesus something that's going to mess him up, because our goal is to make him look bad. Our goal is to make him do something wrong. So he came up testing him, hoping Jesus would make a mistake, and he said this, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? How many commandments were there? Anybody know? 600 and possibly, it's according to how you count them, but most say around 613 commandments in the Mosaic law. And that's what they looked at. And so they asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And they thought they had him, because no matter what he would say, then if he said the greatest one is to keep the Sabbath or something, they could say, well, what about this one? What about this one? If he said you just have no graven images, then they would get him on something else. And so they thought, this lawyer guy has pretty much tricked him. And we finally got him. And we know that historically, every time somebody comes up to him to test him, he gives them something back, and they all turn around and go, like, who told me to go up there anyway? I mean, that didn't work very well. And so that's what we see. So they think they got him. And he said this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. Okay, so he starts by loving God. And if you look throughout the Bible, what you see that mankind who has been created by God was to love God. But he doesn't stop there. He says this, and the second command is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love others. So the guy can't answer that. I mean, he can't go, that's not right. Well, it is right. It's exactly right. In fact, Jesus didn't make it one commandment. He said the greatest commandment of all is to love God and to love others. And then he goes down and says this, on these two commandments depend the whole law and prophets. In other words, he says the whole system. And by the way, when we get to the New Testament, we're not under Mosaic law, but we're under what's called the law of Christ. You'll see it in a few places, and it may confuse you because you think, I thought we weren't under Mosaic law. We're not. Never have been. We're under the law of Christ, and the law of Christ is also called the law of love. And that is, the law of Christ is to love God and to love others. Everything else fits under that. If you're loving God and loving others, then you will be, you will do exactly what it says, that we're members one another and we take care of one another, and all the commandments and everything falls under those two things, loving God and loving others. Notice this. Jesus says this to his disciples. This is the last night before he goes to the cross. This is what he says. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, he calls it a new commandment. You'd say that under the Mosaic law, the commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, okay? That was the two commandments that everything hinges on, loving God and loving people. Jesus went a little bit further, and he actually said, this is the new commandment I give it to you, and this is that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. Now, has he loved us even beyond what we've ever loved a neighbor? Yes. Yes. So he's actually stretched it out a little bit. He says that you love one another, and by this, all men will know that you're my disciples. How do people know that you belong to Jesus Christ? How do people know that we have trusted in Christ and we want to live for Christ? He says, you love others as I have loved you. That's the commandment. Under law, love God and love others. Jesus' new commandment, love others as he has loved us. Now, that's a step up. And Jesus did a lot of step ups. Remember? He said, you have heard it said this, but I say to you. He did that in a lot of different times. Well, this is the one that he gave. And so for each of us in this room, we're saying, so what you're telling me is God has given us each other. Yes. Each other in this body. Yes. Each other to use our gifts, talents, and abilities, proper working of each individual part so we can all function and we can do what God has for us to do. Yes. Every one of us are just as important as every other one. And everyone is needed, even if they don't think they're needed. And the bottom line of how we can make this work so that there's not any division in the body is we love God and we love others and we love others as Christ has loved us. This is the key. So the next time you want to be critical of somebody, think about the fact that they're in the body of Christ. They've got different gifts, talents than you. They're just as vital as you are. You need them and they need you. And God says, love them as I have loved you. Because it's real easy to be critical on anybody. Somebody, you say, they're moving too slow. Let me get out of my way. You know, I've got to go do this. And I mean, that's how we think. We say, oh, who asked that question? You know, or can you believe what they did? I mean, listen, it's not about that. It's about us fitting together and loving each other. And so the key, I think the key for the body is love one another as Christ has loved us. I like this verse right here. Beloved, if God so loved us, did he? Yes. Then what should we do? We also ought to love one another. And if you notice, on your handout, on the very back page, I just put this, and I didn't put it up on the screen, but on the very back page, I listed all these one another's and things you find in the Bible. There's the love one another, which I call the foundation. And then there's the care for one another, which is compassion. That's be kind, comfort, be hospitable, be devoted. And then I've got the building up one another, encourage, admonish, stir up, teach. I've got the serve one another, submit, humility, peace, same mind. And then even the fellowship with one another, forgive, confess, speak the truth. Don't lie. All of those are one another's. We've done a study in the church two different times, but I think the last one was about, what, 6 or 7 years ago when we talked about the one another's. And we took not every one of these one another's because it had taken forever, but we picked out, I think, about 10 or 12 one another's and showed how that's what we do. The overarching one of all the one another's is what? To love one another. That's the overarching one. We love God, we love others. And so, If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So let me give you some applications, and then we go to grow groups. But let's think about this. Let's realize that we're all needed in the body. Listen, if for some reason in your mind you don't think it matters whether you serve or not, you're wrong. We need you. You got to use your gifts, talents, and abilities. You got to serve. You can't serve by yourself. Every part has got to be working together. We need every believer to serve. When people join the church, we got a membership training coming up next Sunday, and we always tell them, listen, when you join let's find you a place to serve if you're not already serving. Sometimes people already start serving and then they join the church, you know, whatever. But the bottom line is they're all needed. Number two is let's realize our goal is to equip one another for service. That's why we've all got individual parts working together. That's the Ephesians 4, 12 through 16. He says, you know, equip the saints to the work of the ministry, build up the body of Christ, maturity, you know, looking like the Lord, no longer being a child tossed to and fro, but proper working of each individual part. That's what it is. And then the third thing, let's understand the overarching key is to love each other. It's to love each other. And the world, when we love each other, it says that the world will know that we're his what? Disciples. Not just believers, but disciples. Because when you're loving one another, you're going to serve one another. That's what happens. When you love one another and you love God, you will serve God and you will serve others. That's what happens. Because if you love God, you want to live for him. And if you love other people, you want to serve them.